Hi, I'm Juliette, the founder and director of Pineapple Audio Production, and welcome back to the Podcasting Playbook. We're really lucky to be supported by some incredible businesses at Pineapple. So I just want to take a minute here to thank Leo Bites, who make incredible raw freeze-dried crisps. You've got to try the strawberry ones, they are amazing. And Audio Boom, one of the leading podcast publishers who help get your podcast to Apple, Spotify, and the rest. We use them for tons of our content distribution, so we are big, big fans. On today's episode, I am so excited to have Kelsey Bennett with us. She's a podcast and radio producer extraordinaire, and she's worked with Pineapple for a few years now on some of our very biggest projects. So, hi, Kelsey. Would you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, please, and then we'll get on to today's topic.
Of course. I'm Kelsey. I am Scottish, and I've been living down in London now for almost 13 years. The audio world pulled me in and has kept me in its claws down here ever since. So I have a bit of a double career. I am both a voiceover and a podcast producer, which is how I know Juliette, and it's why I'm working for Pineapple.
Tell us a little bit more about how you got started, Kelsey, because you've done some amazing and very varied things that aren't just working for Pineapple or in podcasting. You've done a ton of different things, including voiceover. So maybe tell us how you initially got into this whole crazy audio world.
The crazy audio world. So I actually moved. What I studied was to be a speech and language therapist. So I initially started my career as that, as a newly qualified therapist. But I always knew that there was a performance aspect that was missing in my career. I was very drawn to acting growing up, but never pursued that, studying it or as a career. And so I think it was actually my mum who said, why don't you do a voiceover demo? And I thought, cool, let's do it. Why not? And I made my demo, and this was very old school. I burned all those CDs and then sent it out, the hard copies, the old way, to every production company, every TV studio, every radio studio in the UK. And I ended up getting picked up by Channel 4, and they invited me down to do an audition to become a continuity announcer. So it's one of those voices you hear on the channel who introduces the programs, and you can hear them on the end credits. It's basically you're the voice that's navigating you through your TV watching. So I then moved into continuity announcing full time, and I did that for almost 11 years, maybe 10, just over 10 years. And it was an amazing career. And I still do it. I actually work across a couple of different channels now. But I always knew that I just needed something additional. I wanted to get involved in the creative process as well. So not just turning up and reading the scripts. I wanted to be involved in making the audio, not just with not just for continuity, but in podcasting. And what did that open? What kind of a world did that open me up to? So I started teaching myself. I taught myself to edit. I started reaching out to lots of different podcasters, including yourself. And I just banged on all of the audio doors until people let me in. And I have maneuvered myself now into this career where I do both. I'm very lucky.
Well, kudos to your mum for getting you started in the very beginning then, right? She holds a lot of the keys, but you've really made it happen, Kelsey, and you're super tenacious and very positive, and you just keep turning up, like you say, which is great. And that's why I love working together. So, but tell us about some of the specific things that you've done.
I mean, I have to always give love to the original, which was Channel 4, because of the culture that they created working there. They make sure that not only is the viewer represented, so that was amazing to be a part of, because we were just exploring brand new territory and listening to all these diverse voices and underrepresented voices, but you as an actual staff member were always put first. And the more time and effort that Channel 4 put into you, the more they got out from you. And so that's definitely something that I look for now when I'm looking for more work. I'm like, do my values align with the companies that I'm working for? So always kudos to them. But I have worked on some amazing podcasting projects. One of them in particular was an audio fictional drama called Life Sentence. And it was so challenging because it was a brand new project for the company that I was working for. And it was kind of on a shoestring budget, and we just had to make it work. And the topic was on climate change. So it was a really hard sell. It was a difficult concept to sell to people, but it was unbelievable working on it. Getting involved in the casting, looking at the scripts, which were, we were working with a writer, and being in that fictional world as well was a brand new challenge. And it's 100% something that I want to pursue in my career going forward. Also made me realize, like, I know where my super strengths lie with producing, which is in that sort of supervising logistics role, as opposed to always being the creative role. I can take somebody's idea and I make it happen. And that was really cool to confirm it to myself. I always knew that was, I'm an organizer. I'm a planner. I love doing that with my own diary, my own social life. But then being able to translate that into work itself. Essentially, I think it's project managing.
You are very, very organized, Kelsey. I can confirm that. And you absolutely run away and make things happen and make them bigger and better. Yeah, you have another level of detail and, like you say, that making creative things happen. I can totally endorse what you're saying. And I love that you love it as much as you do, because the passion is the thing that's so important. Sounds like you've had some really amazing experiences across your career so far. Are there any more challenging parts that you're willing to share? Anything that you've overcome or you faced and got to the other side of, or working on getting to the other side of?
Yeah. I mean, the big thing that stands out for me was moving away from that staff position, that full-time permanent position that I had at Channel 4. And that was me kind of making my own decision about whether to go freelance. And it's a very different world moving into the freelance world. You have to advocate for yourself all of the time. There is not one person that's going, you're doing amazing. Like, you have to become your own cheerleader, and you have to just leave those nerves at the door, because you have to reach out constantly, put yourself out there and say, these are my skills. This is who I am. This is what I can do for you. And hope that someone will go, oh my God, that's exactly what we're looking for. So it was absolutely daunting going away from that stability. And I replaced stability for freedom, and I replaced comfort for the challenge. And not going to lie, it's not been easy all of the time, but it is great, great experience. But you have to advocate for yourself all the time. And everything's just a little bit harder. You don't just get a paycheck at the end of the month and everyone's sorted out your tax and your pension and all of this stuff. You'll know this as well. Like, you got to do all that, all the admin and all the finances.
Yeah. But it sounds like, though, that freedom and that flexibility and the challenge, like you say, was probably made for you, considering all the things you've already said about what you like and what you were doing before.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know if I will be a freelancer forever. I might want to bring in a little bit more stability into my working life at some point. I have a fantastic work coach who said, right, go and play the field, go and find who it is that you're aligned with and that who you want to commit to. And I love that. I was like, oh, this feels like dating. You know, work takes up such a huge part of our lives. Like, you've got to make it work for you. And I think we've now moved into this world post-pandemic where we were all given these choices of, like, how do you want to work? Do you want to work from home? Do you want flexible hours? Do you want to work from abroad? Like, how do we make work for you? And you've been an incredible support for me these last 6 months, where I decided to up sticks and go traveling for a couple of months. And I wanted to take my work with me. And so finding, honoring the contracts that I had at that point and being very honest with them and saying, like, look, this is what I want to do. Can you let this happen? And majority, if not everyone, in different ways, made it happen for me. And I'm so grateful for that, because I guess that's a new way of saying, I bring this back to the Channel 4, like the more that you put into your staff, the more that you're going to get out. And the fact that these companies said, yes, let's support this wild little journey that you want to do. How can we make it work? Because we know that you're going to come back even more fulfilled and more energized, was great. So thank you, Juliet. Thank you for letting that happen for me.
No, I found it so exciting wondering where you were every week, checking in and hearing about your adventures, because I love that you wanted to do that. And I love that you kept doing all the things that you were doing when you were in the UK, regardless of where you were traveling. And I think you're a really good example and inspiration of that. And that's exactly how I live my life, or aspire to live my life. So I would only ever endorse that for other people. I think it's, you know, it's not right for everybody. Like you say, you're exchanging certain levels of comfort and stability for the challenge and for the freedom and the flexibility and things that are different. But for me, that's an amazing privilege. And it's a really positive thing to be able to bring your work life into your day-to-day life, into the places you want to see and the people that you want to meet and the experiences you want to have. And that actually, in my opinion, only adds to your work. You're such a super motivated person anyway. It wouldn't have even crossed my mind to worry about you not getting on and doing the work. But it's awesome to see you, like, on a personal level, do things, have experiences, see places. Like, that to me, that's only positive, because I've had positive experiences from that. Go do it. It's awesome. It's only added to your, what you bring to the table is more of that if you want it.
Don't get me wrong. I'm happy to unpack my suitcase for more than a week. So at the moment.
Yeah, of course. But like, it's amazing that you've done it. Like, you set out to do it, you made it happen. And like you say, project management in your personal life, as well as in your professional life, like you really brought it all together.
Welcome to The Quality of Life, the new wellness podcast for Saudi, the GCC, and the world.
Take that risk, try something new, and don't be afraid to fail.
Hosted by me, Raham Harray, the first Saudi woman to climb Everest and the Seven Summits. I'll be speaking to the biggest names in the GCC and across the world.
You're an absolute badass for being an astronaut and a mom of four.
You can listen in both Arabic and English every Friday morning after Juma prayer.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about your podcasting, audio, and what you've loved about it, aside from the freedom and the flexibility and the stuff that it does undoubtedly bring to our lives, which is awesome. What other things do you love about audio? What do you think it's brought to your life?
I feel like I've just always been a little bit obsessed with audio. Like, I was that kid who would just glued to the radio. Like, what was the next song? And, you know, just obsessed with music. That would be my kind of entry into the audio world. And then I feel like I was a fairly early adopter with podcasts, which were, it was the radio stations initially that were creating these short podcast episodes. And it was my way of being able to catch up when I had missed out on my beloved shows that I was listening to. And then all of a sudden, this audio world started opening up. It wasn't just the radio shows. It was everybody. And you get to build a bond with whoever it is that you're listening to. I mean, I think I'm obviously not the only one. I think it gets like 500,000 downloads every week. But my therapist ghosted me. Joanne McNally and Vogue Williams. Like, I cannot wait every single week. I get to listen to what feels like two friends having a chit chat. I get a catch up. It's pure escapism. So there's that side of it. But then there's also, as I was saying with the audio fictional project that I was working on, they're just opening up a whole new world creatively, being able to dive into all of these kind of bigger issues of like climate change in a brand new way that's away from TV, it's away from film, it's away from print news. How can you engage people? So I've just, and then obviously being in the voiceover world, I was in front of the microphone, then moving it into being behind the microphone. It's just always, always been there in my life.
You have a really unique set of skills actually, Kelsey, because you do have that knowledge of working with other people's ideas, bringing them to life. And, you know, like you say, being both behind and in front of the mic, it's cool that you can see from both perspectives. It's super useful. And it comes through actually in your production. You can tell. So we're talking about you working whilst you travel and producing and voice, but what does, tell us a little bit more about what that actually means, like the fundamentals. So for example, for Pineapple, you're producing Smut Drop. That's something that you've done for a significant amount of time now. Tell us a bit about what that actually means when we say you're producing that, or you're producing that from Cambodia or Scotland or wherever you happen to be today. What does that actually mean?
I'm very lucky that I get to work with Miri, who's our host. She's totally across the content. So for Smut Drop, I'm not the content producer. She comes already made with her scripts. She's done the research on the guests. And it's really lovely to be on the other side of that, because I just get to sit in awe of how well she handles these conversations. I'm just going, that's amazing. What I'm doing is I'm the studio producer, because we do it remotely. So I'm looking after the recording. I'm making sure that the audio is sounding good. I'm making sure that the tech setup is all going fine. Sometimes it's not going fine. And then I have to come in and troubleshoot. I'm also supporting Mary as she's going through the interview. She's veering off into maybe territory that, or her or the guest are veering off into territory that might not suit the episode, it might not suit the client, then I can kind of help steer. And then once that recording's finished, I then edit the episode, which is always a joy. because I've already sat in on that recording, I know exactly what it is that I need to cut. And then I can hand over the finished product, so to speak, the finished episode to the client, and then do the sort of the back and forth with them if there's any changes, any edits, and then get it released every week. I think we're a well-oiled machine, because you, Pineapple, do the guest booking. You then hand it over to Mary, who does the content, the scripting, and then technically she hands it to me to do the audio recording and the editing, and then we hand it on to the client. So we're a good team.
It is a well-oiled machine now. It is. Are there bits of that that you love? Are there bits that you find present more challenges?
Some of the guests and the topics that we cover in Smut Drop, it is eye-opening. I honestly, if you looked at my Google search, you would think that I am extremely smutty. But some of the stuff, yes, I'm learning is eye-opening. That's all I'll say. You've got to go and listen to find out more.
Yeah, I can fully empathize, because before Smut Drop was Smut Drop, we had Good Sex, Bad Sex, of course. And I started producing Good Sex, Bad Sex as a very young person. I probably was only 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. But I was extremely naive to a lot of the things that they talked about, which Miri dutifully carries through into Smut Drop today. Extremely eye-opening. I was very educated. I mean, you're relatively fortunate. I'm going to give you fortunate here, because, you know, you're behind a camera. At that point, we were recording in real life, and I had to sit there mortified, red-faced, learning about things.
You know, Smut Drop is a sex and relationships podcast, and a lot of it is to try and debunk shame, myths, taboos around the subjects. And here we are going, oh my God, what are they talking about that? Oh. And now it's just becoming more comfortable.
Right? It's now just a normal conversation. like anything else would be, which is fascinating. And you're right, that's exactly what podcasting is all about. It's normalizing things that would have been taboo or difficult or embarrassing in some way. And now it's like, actually, that's fascinating. And the way people live their lives, spend their spare time, like that's, it's really fascinating. And Miri does an amazing job of making that the case. Like you say, podcasting does in a more general way. And it's cool that that's become easier for you. And certainly it makes me laugh now how embarrassed I used to be about even being in the room, not even talking about those subjects, but being in the room. It's great. That's, like you say, that's exactly what podcasting is all about.
I mean, I think I'm very lucky that I've done a lot of different kinds of podcasts, which each one will throw up lots of different challenges. One of the ones that we've just been doing recently is Mammograms and Me with Dawn Butler. So that was amazing to do it because we were recording it in person and it was obviously about mammograms. So a really difficult subject, but so important. And it's part of her campaign. So Dawn Butler is the MP for Labour MP for Brent, and who had breast cancer, and she has this million missing mammograms campaign. What a great way to reach people through podcasting. Obviously, it's a sensitive subject. So then that in itself creates challenges. Just with your content, you're always having to think about who is it that's listening? How will they receive this information? There's a lot of safeguarding as well in that respect. You've got to make sure that people feel supported, signpost them to the relevant websites, support systems. So that was really incredible to be involved with. It's coming out very soon. Listen.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that as well. It's cool. We get to work on such a variety of different things at Pineapple, but this is one that feels really like impactful. And the work that you've done on it has been amazing, Kelsey. So thank you for everything you've brought to the table. You've had so many different experiences. You've told us about just a few of them, but you've had so many different audio experiences, life experiences. You spent 6 months traveling the world very recently. Do you have a lesson or philosophy or some sort of mantra that you would be willing to share about work or life?
I have a few, which I kind of meditate on, I guess. So I'll keep these brief. It was actually my drama teacher when I was 17. She told me that don't be afraid to stray away from the path that you've chosen. Because I think some people can be so rigid and been like, this is my goal. This is what I must achieve. But it kind of makes you closed off to opportunities that you might not expect. And God, if I had said like at 17, is this where I was going to be? Probably not. I don't know. In varying form, potentially, this is where I was going to end up. But I had to just be open to the curveballs that have come my way. What is it that I can learn from them? What can you learn from those failures? Failures, I say that in air quotations. It's made me be, I've got quite a curious mindset. So, right. This opportunity's come my way. It's not something that I had thought about before. What could I learn from that? Who can I meet from that? Who knows what that will then not lead on to? The other big one, I think I went to see a talk with Sharon Horgan and Emma Gannon, who are two absolute powerhouses. Love both of them. I think it was Sharon that said, and this is very much specifically thinking about freelancing, but I guess you could... it could apply to anybody. Try and think about your work as in you take a third of your work for the bank. That's the money that you need to survive on. And that's okay if it's not your big passion, but it's the money you need to live on. Then accept a third of the work for your career development. What can I learn? Who can I meet? Where is it going to take me next? And then the other third is your passion. And it might not pay anything at all, but it's what you really just love. It's what fills up your cup. And not everybody's going to be able to kind of have that mindset, but it's a nice way to think about it. I know quite a few people that are maybe in a job that pays very well, but they have no love for it, or that they only want to feel happiness with their job at all times, but it doesn't pay very well. So maybe it's trying to like rejig your mindset in that you might not get everything that you need in one job. Can you diversify? Can you be this multi-hyphenate? Like what else could you do? And maybe it's not just something that will be paid. Maybe it's a hobby that could become a bit of a side hustle that you could then bring into your working life.
You are a true example of a multi-hyphenate, aren't you? I can see you playing that out in your life.
I think I am now. Yeah, absolutely. I think one job doesn't fit all. One job does not suit me at the moment, in this moment in time where I am in my life.
I agree.
I need different things to keep me excited, keep challenging me.
It's a good stage to be at, regardless of what happens next for you. It's a great stage to be at. I'll never forget one of my first bosses telling me in the nicest possible way that I really wasn't made to be employed. And I was 16 at the time. She saw it, that sense of I wanted freedom. I wanted to set my own diary, as you say, the flexibility. And she saw it really early on. And I went on to have, you know, a variety of different jobs. But here we are. You end up where you end up, don't you? So it's interesting.
Oh, my God. I love that. I also just like, if there's an industry that you're interested in, go and ask people for a conversation. What, like, I think this is what I did with you. I messaged you on Instagram and I was like, hello, you're a female in the audio world. This is amazing. You have your own company. Like, how can I get involved? Like, can I just have a chat with you? I think I asked you to be my mentor. I was like, please. And now look at us.
I have to say, like, it was such a joy to hear from you like that. And that passion was really obvious from the get-go. You're right. We had like a initial call or couple of calls, and then it was like, let's just do some work together. And it's because it was very obvious that you had that sense of what you wanted and the enthusiasm and passion for it. That's exactly what happened. And I love that you went about it like that. Great.
I've done that my whole career, is just go and ask, even if it's right at the top. My God, I think I've knocked on a few CEO doors. Quite often they don't answer, but sometimes they do.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like you say, if you don't ask, you don't get, do you? You have to go out and advocate for yourself, as you said. And yeah, like many, many people want to give back. And I think that's the thing you have to remember, isn't it? Like once you've been given a few opportunities and you've had people who've given you that hand, like you want to give back. I really feel that sense, and I've got a long way to go, but I know I remember the people who helped me to get the things I wanted to get and to get to where I wanted to get to. And I really want to give back because of it. So yeah, you have to go ask, don't you? Good for you, Kelsey.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Kelsey, thank you so much for being my guest on Podcasting Playbook today. And thank you for tuning in and getting to know a little bit more about the work we do at Pineapple. Don't forget to follow and review for more podcast episodes coming your way very, very soon. Bye for now.